the Lord and the giver of
life. Amen.
Please, I beg you, allow that to become your faith. Let that become the norm in your thinking, in your understanding. Let your understanding know that the Holy Spirit of God is life. There is no life apart from the Holy Spirit. There isn't any. Now listen to this. The same Holy Spirit that came down from heaven and brought the blood of God, the flesh of God, and presented it into the womb of a virgin, that same Holy Spirit lives in me. The Holy Spirit that spoke this universe into an existence, that same Holy Spirit lives in me. The Holy Spirit that took Jesus into the desert, into the marketplace, that led him is the same Holy Spirit that leads me. It is not a different spirit. That spirit is life and truth. Please get a hold of that. Jesus said it like this. He said, the words that I speak to you, the words that I say to you are spirit and they are life. The words that he spoke. Now, you all remember last night when Father John Bertolucci said something about confess with your mouth, acknowledge with your mouth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and it's God. Only the Holy Spirit can say that. That's the way God is recognized. Do y'all remember him saying that? That there is the confession of the mouth, believing in the heart, and you are saved. What if I told you that didn't work? What if I told you you could run around all day confessing Jesus, 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 and I believe him in my heart, I believe him in my heart, and I'm going to believe him in my heart, and it wouldn't save a gnat?
If I believe in him, I'm
going to
act like him.
Okay. Listen to the word confess. What the word confess means. In the Greek, it's homo logios. Logios. Logos. It means to say the same as. The Holy Spirit, the words that came out of his mouth are spirit. The words that come out of my mouth right now are spirit. And the words that are coming out of my mouth, you can't see them. They are spirit. And they will either bring life or death. The words that he spoke out of his mouth were spirit of life. They were the spirit of God. And it's living those words, living the words, saying the words that he said, believing them in your heart, believing them and doing them, that you are transformed into the image of God. You're transformed with the attitude of Christ. You're transformed into his way of thinking. And it won't come any other way, folks. There ain't nobody can bring you into the knowledge of Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit of God. It just won't work. Please get a hold of that. We've got, for every teacher that we have teaching what we're teaching, you've got 10,000 teaching something else. I'm talking tens of thousands that will preach another Jesus. Jesus himself said many would come and deceive many. Many would come. He didn't say that about preachers of the word. He said, laborers are few. The harvest is great. So whenever you find someone preaching the truth, saying the words that he said, which are spirit and life, you will find thousands giving you another message. Listen to the message. Listen to the words that he spoke. Love your enemy. Is that simple? Do good to those that hate you. Folks, those words were not coined on this earth. There has never been a university that will teach them. There is no society on this earth that has ever perpetuated these words other than our society. There's always been this remnant. It will never be the majority. It's always the minority. You'll hear David Stewart say that the majority is always wrong. Always. It's always the minority that's always right. You understand that? Speaking the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe Him in your heart. To believe it, you do it. Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that treat you badly. When you're slapped on one cheek, present the other cheek. Give to anyone that asks. See, those things are against your flesh. They are against everything that the world will teach you. It is against government. It is against folks. I don't know of any institution, any learning institution that teaches these words. This is not putting down anybody. I've yet to walk into a Catholic school finding these words being taught, even in religion class. Are they being taught?
No.
Are you in Catholic school?
I used to be.
Used to be. Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those. Folks, what it does, when you begin to speak those words and do them, you will take on the attitude of Christ. You will take on His joy. Your joy will be full. Now, what I'm going to try to do in this hour is I'm going to give you a testimony to try to help you understand how you can become if you will do this. See, this is something that you do. Faith without works is dead. Loving your enemy is a work. Folks, it is a strenuous job. It is a hard job. It is not an easy job. Turning the other cheek is work. Okay? But what it does, when you work at it, it will let you know how patient you are. Most of them aren't very patient at all. Are we?
No.
When they rob your property, don't ask for it back. You'll work at that, won't you? Now you know the scripture where it says, they hear the word and they rejoice, but the minute the trials and the tribulations come, they quickly what? They fall. You just can't do it. The Holy Spirit is the Lord and the giver of life. Folks, that's been around now for almost 2,000 years. And I hope and pray to God that the church never changes it. Up to this point, they haven't. Because it is the very source of life. It is the introduction. It was the source that just exploded in my mind that got me into where I'm at today. It was the Nicene Creed that exploded in me. One day I looked at it and it says, I believe in one God, the Father, and something happened to me. I looked at Father in a way that I'd never been able to see Him before. I'd always looked at Him before as an obstacle. I did. He was an obstacle to me. Even before I got into this. I mean, he was a pain for me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, any time He called on you, oh, God. You understand? He doesn't bother me no more because I know who He is. You understand? It's a joy because I discovered that there's only one God and He is your Father. Do you know I know that about my granddaughter? Do you know that my relationship with her is it's incredible? And her friends. Because I know who they are before they ever come around. I can hear their voice coming down the hall. I said, here comes another unique one of a kind, an original masterpiece of God. And see, right away, I do not respond in what they're doing. I respond in what I believe. I respond to my faith, not what you're doing, not even how you're acting or saying. I respond to my faith. Faith always acts. It never reacts. It always acts in what? Say love. Always. Always. Let's say always.
Always.
So, the Holy Spirit is the Lord, the giver of
life.
Jesus himself said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. Love your enemy. See, I'm going to tell you folks, every time you got to say this all the time or it'll quickly disappear out of your mind. You got to go, this is what you meditate on day and night. I used to think I had to meditate on the whole thing. I don't know how to meditate on the whole thing. My mind is not comprehensive enough to meditate on the whole thing. I don't think there's anybody living on this earth that can meditate on the whole thing. But now let me tell you something I discovered about this. This right here is the story of my life, from the beginning to the end of my life, of my life. I was introduced to the law. I was introduced to salvation. Lord Jesus, come quickly. The story of my life. It is not, to me, it is not the history of a people. It is the history of me. It is not a historical document. It's the life of every living human being on this earth. The Holy Spirit is the Lord and the giver of life. Did we get into yesterday about worshiping and glorifying the Holy Spirit, how we worship the Holy Spirit? Did we get into that in this class? Some classes I missed this. Well, how do we worship and glorify the Holy Spirit? Did I stop? Well, see, that don't tell me nothing. I want to know how. I want you, if you were going to tell somebody how to eat cereal, you wouldn't say, well, this is the way you do it. You'd show them. If they don't know. Okay. What did I say? How do you worship and glorify the Holy Spirit? With the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit is worshiped and glorified. How do we do that? Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. That's the way you work. It, folks, listen, this is wonderful. I love to dance. I love to sing. I love to get excited, but that does not worship the Holy Spirit. It edifies the flesh. It makes your flesh feel good. In fact, the minute you quit doing this, you don't feel good anymore by it. I mean, you feel good in doing it, and when you stop, what happens? It stops too. But when you're loving and you're compassionate, when you're giving, when you're reconciled, it never wears thin. It never gets old. The Holy Spirit is worshipped and glorified by loving your enemy. Now, Jesus tells us that a man's enemy are those members of his own household. You don't have to go look for him. He's already there. Mama, daddy, brother, sister, child, grandchild, the enemy is already in place. And God tells us to love him. Okay, for me to love my enemy, that calls for a what? Sacrifice. It calls for commitment. It calls for decision. Now, I want to share a testimony here how you love your enemy. An enemy is anyone that is diametrically opposed to do your will. No, not God's will. Yeah. You ever get angry at him when he didn't do what he was supposed to do? Okay, that's your enemy. When he was in opposition to what you wanted. And you know, sometimes that opposition, I mean, my wife would get mad at me. I didn't even know why. Because she was thinking that I was supposed to do something that I weren't even thinking. And in her mind, she would become angry at something that I didn't even... I say, what's wrong? Oh, what do you mean, what's wrong? I said, God, what did I do? You kids ever get treated like that? You know, you walk into the house. And they're thinking of something that you don't even know. But you see, in our insane attitude, it's almost like you're supposed to know what I'm thinking. And I can't know what you're thinking. You understand? I don't know what you are thinking. My daughter, my youngest daughter, Amy, came up to me one day and she says, Peepaw, I have found the man that I want to marry. She said, he's a wonderful guy. And he's also a mess. And she says, I've listened to you over the years, and she says, I know that I will not be able to love him by myself. I need help loving this man. Would you let us live in your house so you could help me love him? Now, is that wisdom? I mean, how about your daughter coming up and ask you, I got a guy that I want to marry, but he's a mess, and I know you can help me love him. Can we move in? So you can. I can't do it by myself. If you don't let us move in your house, I ain't going to marry you. And he's the guy I want to marry. But I know if I marry him and go off by ourselves, I will be destroyed. Y'all understand? So I said, bring him home. Now, what did I know about this guy? Well, I knew more than that. I knew that he was a unique, one-of-a-kind, an original masterpiece. He was birthed into this world on the will of God. God is the one that chose him and sent him. And he sent him here to teach me how to love. That's what he's here for. All things were made through him for us and for our... This guy was made for me in my salvation. This guy is going to teach me something about God that I've not learned from anybody else. Do you know that if I lived around you long enough, you would teach me something about God that I've never experienced from anybody else? Y'all know that, don't you? Every unique person, if you're walking in love, will teach you. You know, I learned more in these classes from you than anybody else. I learned more in this school. You know, when you're giving away, you know that really, you learn an awful lot. You know that when you're giving? So when this guy moves into my house with my daughter, I knew that he was a unique, one of a kind. I knew that God had chosen him and God had put him here. And I knew that I was going to learn something. I didn't know what I was going to learn. I was not smart enough at that point to know that I was going to learn about my patience. I did not know that I was going to learn about my kindness. I did not know that I was going to learn about my long suffering. I didn't know I was going to learn that. I thought I'd already learned that. I didn't know I had to go through this thing again. I had no idea. I mean, I've already got that thing whooped. I know how to be patient. Oh, yeah? Wait till he drops in on you. He'll check you out all over again. This guy drops in, a sweet guy. I've never seen him violent. I never have. Never seen him banging his head on the wall or cussing and slamming. And I've just never seen it. Always sweet. Just a wonderful brother. But he would steal everything in sight. Wasn't he, Megan? So he just liked to steal. And the guy had gone through all of the major corporations of this town, having jobs, and would get hurt or do something, and would be involved in a lot of stuff that nobody would hire him. He had run through all of the people that would hire. They just wouldn't nobody hire him because he had a reputation of beating you if you hired him. He'd beat you. He'd get you money. So they just nobody would hire him. So that was another thing that I was content with. He could not hold a job. Or he couldn't even get one, not let alone hold one. He couldn't get one. And so to satisfy his needs, you see, I was not smart enough to see or to know that he had needs. I wasn't fast enough in my thinking. And so what he would do to satisfy his needs, he would find things that weren't being used and hawk them. Whatever it was. Right, Megan? It was just something that he did over and over. And I'm not putting the guy down. He's my best buddy. If he was in this room, I'd be talking like this right now. I would. My best buddy. He still lives in my house. That's been, almost 5 years now. In fact, since then, I've got a little granddaughter by him. Sweetest little thing you've ever seen. Going to be baptized over here Sunday. Isn't that something? So I go through this with David. I go through this trial. He's in a serious situation, a real horrible situation, and I'm called to love him. Now, let me explain something else about love. The love that I have is omnipotent. The love that I have is totally, completely awesome. It is the very power of the universe. The power of Satan, a fallen angel, is nothing compared to the omnipotent love of God. The love of God is almighty. You've got to understand that. An angel that fell, his power, folks, has been rendered helpless. Beside that, he was just an angel. We put too much emphasis on the power of the devil. He has no power. The only power, listen, the only power he has is the power that we give him. I give him power. He has no power of his own. He has been rendered helpless. The power of God is love. That is a sacrifice. Love your enemy. When they rob your property, don't ask for it back. That power overcomes evil. It overcomes the fallen angel. It overcomes depression. It overcomes anxiety. It overcomes fear. The love of God overcomes thieves. It overcomes, folks, it overcomes death. It overcomes everything. Y'all understand that? So, my attitude toward David, no matter what he did, it was okay. How you doing this morning, brother? Boy, it sure is good to see you. You know, I just really love you. You're just wonderful and precious. Anything I can do for you today? No, I'm okay, people. Everything's okay. Walk out in the garage and something else is gone. Everything's fine. And I said, well, yes, okay. Everything will be okay for the next couple of days, you know. Listen, the poor guy. Listen, folks, we don't understand what people go through. You see, I had no eyes to see his needs. I had no heart for his needs. And so he would take things that nobody was using, and they'd disappear. And it got to the point where he began to take things that were being used, like my fishing rod. I said, now, wait a minute, God. This is going too far. In other words, how far will your patience stretch? Is there a limit? Or will you take it to the cross? Will you go all the way with it? Everybody said, well, wait a minute now. There's got to be a line drawn here somewhere. Ain't no line drawn, folks. It's the cross. You got to go all the way. And every day I would greet him with praise. I would edify him. Every day he would tell me, I got this new job coming up. I said, praise God, knowing that the guy was lying. Hallelujah, brother. I'm so glad you got a job coming. What kind of job is it? I said, listen, describe this wonderful job, knowing that he was lying. I said, woo-hoo, you're going to make so much money. Glory to God. Then we can build a bathroom back here for you. Well, that would last a week, and then he'd have another job. I'd never ask you what happened to that one. Love, listen, folks, love, the love of God is greater than the evil. If it ain't, we're all in a bucket of trash. If God's love is not greater, we're all trashed. You understand what I'm saying? We've got to be willing to try to see if it'll work. Folks, God's calling me to a place called heaven. I don't know where it's at. And they tell me that I got to get there by faith. I don't get there by any other way. That faith must produce love. If you have faith in God, it produces sacrifice. Have y'all ever heard of redemptive suffering? It was an old church term that I never understood. I never gave it a lot of thought. But when you begin to walk in your redemption, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I have been justified. My sins are forgiven. And God has shown this grace and mercy on me. Then I'm to take that and extend it to you. In that I'll suffer. Redemptive suffering. I've been redeemed. And if I am redeemed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will suffer. I was suffering with my son-in-law. Now what God began to show me is that he wanted to teach me patience. Charlie, you didn't know you had this much, did you? I said, you know I didn't. God, I've really got a bunch. Woo, man, I'm really hanging in there. I walked out of my house one morning a year and a half ago. This went on for almost 4 years. And my whole family's involved with it. When you got somebody, everybody knew what was going on. Nobody said anything to him. Not one word. We just kept loving him. We knew that, well, it got to the point that he had written a bunch of bad checks. And we were in the yard one day cutting grass, and two plain clothesmen came and locked him right there in my yard, put handcuffs on him. And I said, what are y'all doing? That's my son-in-law. That's a unique, one-of-a-kind, and original masterpiece. What are y'all doing to my boy? See, I knew he was a thief, too. So I knew what they were doing, but boy, I was edifying him. I said, where y'all going? We taking him to jail. I said, David, I'll be right down behind you. I jumped in my car and drove down to jail right behind him. I said, now, what are y'all got him for? He had a list of bad checks that long. I said, what's his bond? I signed his bond, got him right out of jail, and I said, can we have that list? And they gave us the list, and we began to drive to different places picking up those checks. And every place I would go, I'd say, glory be to God, isn't this wonderful, David? We got enough money to pick this check up. Oh, hallelujah. And the guy was looking at me like this. God. Overwhelming. Love is greater than evil. Hello? Love is greater than evil.